be done.
Amen. We will do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Christ, for paying the price for us that we got Holy Ruach, Ruach HaKodesh. Tonight we're going to do a little excursion into Ahab and Jezebel and learn lessons on this. And actually, Ahab, his name is really Ox-Ab. Ox means brother, Ab means father. So brother, father, or my father's my brother. And Jezebel, I just get rid of the J. It's really Ezebah. And with any time we have a J, just get rid of it in your work. It's just going to be, or even a Y, or I. In my time, it's going to be a Y. But J is not in the Hebrew language. Ox-Ab, I'll try to remember. Jezebel, or just Ezebel. Ezebel.
Like Isabel, huh?
Well, man, it's like E-E hyphen Z-E-H hyphen B-E-L. So that's how it's done. We realize the Father gives a lot of paper to these people. You have to understand, you know, to Omri, his father, I think he got maybe a paragraph. And so he got a paragraph. And then Ox-Ab goes from chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 17 to 22, and then goes into 2 Kings from chapter 1 to 9. So he dies in the 1 Kings 5 chapter, but Jezebel, doesn't die until chapter 9 of 2 Kings. And what we're going to find out is something that is we're going to illustrate here. Really, what distinguished him from everybody else was Baal. It's not Baal. It's actually two syllables, Baal. He brings Baal back into the nation of Israel. You're going to find out we have the two sons of Jeroboam, which was Jeroboam made two calves, and we're going to see, and instead of going back to Jerusalem to worship Yahweh, he made two calves, one of Dan, was Bethel. Yahweh was outraged by this and was carried all the way through. But we're going to see with these particular people, Yahweh's going after not the sins of Jeroboam. He's going after Baal, the worship of Baal. So we will begin in 1 Kings 16, 29. And we're going to see the distinction. And the summation would be, got it written down here. Okay, Ox-Ab is weak, deceived. He never murders any prophets. So it's very interesting. He doesn't, you know, a king can murder prophets. You know, Jezebel, or Ezebel, is demonic evil. And so you find out there is no repentance on her. But we're going to see over and over, Ox-Ab is going to surrender to Yahweh. And then he gets corrupted again. Then he surrenders to Yahweh. And then he gets corrupted again. And he just goes back and forth and back and forth. So it's very interesting. So we're making a big distinction. So 1 Kings 16, 29. And while we do this, when Yahweh gives a lot of print to an individual, there's a reason for that that we're supposed to learn from. When he gives, well, we're going to see, let's just look at how much print his father gets, Omri, yeah. 16. Yeah, Omri gets two paragraphs. You know, not even, maybe a third of a page, a quarter, maybe, really a quarter of a page, and that's it. And Omri is interesting, that's his father. He actually built Samaria. Samaria didn't exist. And so he bought the land and built the city of Samaria. But we go to 16, verse 29 to 32. And Ox-Ab, son of Omri, began to reign over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. And Ox-Ab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ox-Ab, son of Omri, did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, and did more wickedly than all that were before him. So you would think, well, you get this is your Ox Hobbs introduction. Well, let's just wipe this guy out. Yahweh, just wipe him out. No, he gets 22 years. And did more wickedly than all that were before him. And it come to pass as though, now this is very, very important, as though it had been too light a thing that he should walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, two gods, that he took to wife Isrebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal. There it is. He went and served Baal and bowed down to him, and he reared an altar under Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. So we're going to see how this whole thing is Yahweh eliminating not the sins of Jeroboam, but the sin, but Baal from Israel. Now we go to 2 Kings 9:1-10.
I'm sorry, what chapter?
2 Kings chapter 9:1-10. We're going to jump. This tells us a little bit about the story. Okay. I guess instead of reading all this, this is where, you know, Elisha the prophet, you know, comes in and says, we're going to wipe out the kings of Israel. And so we're going to anoint a general called Jehu. They call him Jehu. And so we'll kind of go down to the end. And verse 6. Then this is the prophet comes in to anoint him. Then rose he up and went inside and poured out oil upon Jehu. It's Jehu, but it's put a Y there. Jehu, and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee to be king unto the people of Yahweh, unto Israel, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy lord. So I will avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hands of Jezebel. So what you've got is Jezebel is killing the prophets, not Ahab. So it shall perish all the house of Ahab, and I will cut off to Ahab the meanest, both him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. Yea, I will deliver up the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. And as for Jezebel, the dog shall eat her in the town of in the town land of Jezreel, there being none to bury her, and he opened the door and fled. So that's the end of our story. Now we're going to go to 9:30, chapter 9, verse 30, same book. And then we'll go in the, and see how this is played out. 30 through 37. So Jehu gets the order to overthrow Ahab, the household of Ahab. That would be his son, because Ahab has already died in 1 Kings. And when Jehu entered Jezreel, and Jezebel heard of it, she set her eyes in stibinium. Is that it?
Stibinium.
It's the black thing over their eyes. I mean, just the arrogance of this. And ornamented her head and looked forth through the lattice. So when Jehu had entered into the gate, she said, was in peace when Zimri slew his lord. Now she's defiant. So here's a demonic individual with her freedom of will. And he lifted up his face unto the lattice and said, did respond to her, I'm not even going to talk to you. She's addressing him, I'm not going to talk to you. It reminds me of Donald Trump. Who's with us? Who? And there looked out unto him two or three eunuchs, and he said, hurl her down. And they hurled her down, and there was sprinkling of her blood upon the wall and upon the horses, and they trod upon her. And when he had entered and eaten and drunk, he said, look, I pray you, after the accursed woman, and bury her, for the daughter of a king she is. So they went to bury her, but found not her, but found not of her, save the skull and her feet and the palms of the hands. So this was the prophecy fulfilled of Jezebel. I'm just going to say Jezebel. So now we go into Judges 2:10. Now we're going. That's the end of the story, the end of the house of Achab. But we're going to go into, when did Baal come into effect? And the first usage is the book of Judges, chapter 2. Okay, 10 through 14.
What chapter? Page?
Judges, 262. The book of Judges.
What page?
262. Why would I have to tell you the page? Joshua, Judges. Back to school. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy. Okay, 2:10, yeah. And all their generations also were gathered unto their fathers, and this is after Yahushua, which is Joshua. His name is actually Yahushua, the same as our Savior was named the same name, Yahweh of Salvation. After them who had not known Yahweh, or even the words which he had brought before them. So the sons of Israel did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, and served the Baals, and forsook Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and angered Yahweh. They forsook Yahweh and did serve unto Baal and unto Ashtaroth. So we see this is kind of the beginning of noticing of Baal, which actually the word means Lord. Now they're obviously using it as a proper noun, but the word actually means Lord. And so a husband is a Baal.
Oh, speak for yourself.
A lot of times a master over a servant is a Baal. And really it means Lord. So we go to 2 Chronicles 33. So we're going to look at this Baal. How many years was this Baal amongst the people of Yahweh? And this is 2 Chronicles 33, Josiah.
2 Chronicles
33. 2 Chronicles 33. Verse 3. And this is talking about Manasseh. You know, that was the father of Josiah. And he again built, this is Manasseh. And he again built a high place which Hezekiah's father had thrown down, and set up altars to the Baalim, same word, and made sacred stems and bowed in prostration unto all the armies of the heavens, and served them. And so that's Baal. Now you go to 34:4. Josiah comes in after him, and Josiah was really his grandfather. Amon is his father.
You said Josiah is the grandfather or grandson?
Yeah, so Josiah, and Manasseh is Josiah's grandfather. His father is Amon, who only reigned for 2 years in front of him. The 34:4, you're going to see, and they threw down before them the altars of the Baalim and the sun pillars, which were on the high above them. He hewed down in the sacred stems. So you've got the time period is Judges is 1434 B.C. when Yahushua died, 1434 B.C. Josiah dies 500 B.C. So there's 934 years of Baal worship coming in and out, 934 years.
1,000 years.
And we might think that's, how could that be? Well, we have the same thing in Christianity today. We have our Baals, and it's called the Trinity. Now, let's just look at some of this stuff. Now, so we go to the Catholic faith, every Protestant will see that. We were in Italia, it's not Italy, it's Italia. In every place, the church is Santa Maria, Santa Maria, Santa Maria. Maria is everything with the baby Jesus. Who do Catholics, supplicate to? It's Mary. Her name is Maria. Not Maria, but Miriam. Her actual name is Miriam. And so every Catholic knows that. You can't pray to that. Well, you know, we do the same thing in the Protestants. And actually, you know, the when you're praying to Mary, this was in the Council of Ephesus, I think 471. Yeah, 431 CE. This concept was that Mary is the God bearer, and that, you know, that Greek word is theotokos, four syllables.
It's spelled.
Yeah, it's like Theo, which is God. T H E O T O K O S.
Oh, okay.
Theotokos. The God-bearer, and people say the Mother of God, well, they call her the God-bearer, which, obviously, if Yahushua is Yahweh, then obviously she bore Yahweh.
Yeah.
And every Protestant would say no, but yes, because they're all going to say that Jesus is God. So if Jesus is God, and Miriam is his mother, then Miriam bore God. Mm-hmm. As you call Jesus. And so if you just look at, you know, this is in the 400 AD, it's called the 12th Anathemas, the Council of Ephesus. If anyone does not confess that Emmanuel is God in truth, and therefore that the Holy Virgin is the Mother of God, for she bore in a fleshly way the Word of God become flesh, let him be anathematized. So anathematized means accursed. So you had to agree to this. If anyone does not confess that the Word from God the Father has been united by hypostasis with the flesh and is one Christ with one flesh and is therefore God and man together, let him be anathematized. If anyone divide him, that one Christ, a hypostasis, excuse me, after the union, join them by the conjunction of dignity or authority or power, not rather by coming together in union by nature, let him be anathematized. So it just goes on and on and on. So when you look at the nation of Israel with the sins of Jeroboam, what was the sins of Jeroboam? He made two other gods. Mm-hmm. What's the sins of the Catholic and Protestant church?
Two other gods.
You got Yahweh, you got God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the sins of Jeroboam. And right, and how long has that been going on? Since probably 100 AD. So it's at 900 years, we got 2,000 years of the same thing imprinted in what they call Orthodoxy.
Gee, who's behind that?
Yeah,
do you
so,
think?
Our,
just the
so,
time. Yeah.
So we're going to see the presence of our adversary right among us. And if you mention anything like that, you become a heretic.
Yep.
And so what do they call, so what did the high priest call Yahushua? Beelzebub.
Yeah.
Who was Beelzebub? It was the high priest. And so you're always going to be called, if we're the heretic, then actually you're the heretic. Because we go by the scriptures that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Yahushua. Real simple. Yahweh and Yahushua, the son of Yahweh. And then we saw that. Now we go into 1 Kings 16:31, and we'll kind of start mapping this out. I'll put up my watch and make sure I don't go too long. So that was kind of the summation. But now we're going to see some very interesting things going into here. 16:31-32. Oh, we saw that. That's, we already read that. Baal. Now we go into chapter 18, verse 17. We'll always be in 1 Kings right now, so I'll just say the chapter and verse. And remember, Elijah stopped the rain for 3.5 years. You know, what a great deal. I just heard that too. And he started the rain.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that once the sacrifice came, Yahweh, you know, smoked the altar, everything was burned up, and then rain came. No, he had to go off and went off and prayed and looked at the ocean on Mount Carmel, mm-hmm. to bring the rain back. After he withheld it for 3.5 years, and that's in the book of James, by the faith of Elijah. Wow. What a guy is that?
What a guy.
Now remember, so he stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Well, who stopped the wine when he stopped the rain? Yahweh. So who's the problem?
Yahweh.
Oxhop. But who's going to be called the problem? Elijah. Oxhop. And that's what Oxhop is going to do in 1 Kings 18:17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Oxhop said unto him, now art thou troubling Israel. And Israel is really Yisrael with a Y. And we're going to be called the same thing. If you stand for the truth, you're going to be called the problem makers. Mm-hmm. And if you stand for the lie, you're going to be called orthodox.
And invited to the parties.
It's the same thing today, same technique. At 18:19, now therefore, he's talking to Oxhob, now therefore send gather to me all from Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the sacred stand, 400, who eat at the table of Jezebel. So think of that. Here's 500 people that Jezebel has in the nation of Israel. So you have no idea. You have friends, which you think are friends, that you bring in. So he married Jezebel, you know, thinking that was to his advantage, and she was probably very good looking, very attractive, lovely to be around. And here's what's happening to the kingdom. And so Oxhob sent among them all the sons of Israel and gathered the prophets unto Mount Carmel. And we know what happened, and this is very interesting. In 21, here's the situation. Elijah drew near unto all the people and said, how long are you limping on two divided opinions? If Yahweh be El, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Are we talking about the two gods of Jeroboam?
No.
We're talking about Baal.
Okay.
So this is a showdown on, gods that Jeroboam made. We're talking about Baal. So this whole thing is about Baal. So Yahweh works, we're going to see, works in unfavorable conditions to the best that he can. And he's going to keep people alive and actually help them when they're bad, bad boys. But he's still going to do it because maybe there's nobody else that can accomplish what, and we're going to see that, that can accomplish what he wants to be accomplished. So many times our political leaders are not pure, but Yahweh's instrumentalized, there's some purity about him that is using to fulfill his will more than anybody else could. It's a lesser of evils. If you keep your finger here, remember, there's no mention of the two sins of the two gods of Jeroboam. We're going to be coming right back here. But go to 2 Kings 10. Okay, verse 28. We know that Yehu got the job to wipe out the house of Oxhob and the house of Baal. So if you read this whole account, that's what it's about. And he's going to be, he does the job, and he's going to be rewarded by Yahweh. So in 28, 28. Thus, Yehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Does he mention the two gods? No, there's no mention of the two gods and the sins of Jeroboam. Nevertheless, as for the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, Yahu turned not away from following them. The calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. Wow. And we're going to find out that because Yehu did this, he's going to give four generations of kingship to Yehu's sons. Even though they're still worshiping the sons of Jeroboam. But he knocked out Baal. So we're looking at Yahweh works with what he's got. And this probably the only person who could take this in was Baal. Not Baal.
Yehu.
But Yehu, that was tough enough to do this, you know, what you call an insurrection, where you overthrow his lord and all of his family. And so if you read, it's a great illustration. He's very faithful. But he loved Yahweh in the case because, you know, well, I won't go into that. Let's go back to verse 18. In the first chapter, 18:39-40.
Second Kings?
Yeah, First Kings. We're back to First Kings. Remember, fire comes down from heaven and lights the altar. And when all the people saw it, they fell upon their faces and said, Yahweh, he is El. Yahweh, he is El. And Elijah said unto them, seize ye the prophets of Baal, let not a man of them escape. So they seize it. Now, who is watching all this? The king of Israel, Achab, is there. Achab's not killing Elijah. Achab went and found him, and he said, we're going to do it. We're going to do a competition. He goes, okay. You think, Jezebel? No, Jezebel's not going to do that. She's going to kill him immediately. But here, okay, let's... And you're like, cool.
Let's figure this out.
Yeah, so Yahweh won that one for sure. Now let's kill all the prophets. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, Jezebel's not going to like that. That's her prophet.
Your wife is going to be really mad.
So, and they went and seized them. Elijah took them down into the ravine of Kishon and slaughtered them there. Well, that's not very Christian. Well, absolutely it is. You kill evil. And then said Elijah unto Achab, go you up and eat, for there is a sound of a downpour of rain. But as you know, there's a relationship here between Achab and Elijah. And he took his counsel. And then he goes to, let's go to 29, or 19, verse 1. Now here's Achab goes out to Jezebel. You can't believe what happened. This fire came down from heaven and smoked everything. Oh, by the way, 250 of your prophets are dead.
450.
Well, he said Baal, so I don't know about the other people, but it talks about the Baal prophets, and there's a sacred stem prophet, so I don't know. But by the way, and it's raining out, and so he's excited, and Achab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. So you think about that funny? You should have been there. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And she said, and what were you doing? Well, I was watching that. He's a bad man. Then sent Jezebel a messenger unto Elijah and say, I repent, because the rain's here. No. Saying, so let the gods do, and so let them add, if by this time tomorrow I make not thy life as the life of one of them. Now, so here's terrorism, and this is many times the wives or the spouse of leaders who are actually running things. I think of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton just wants sex and everything else. Hillary wants power. And so you're looking at these Jezebels, and it could be the husband also doing the same situation. But behind the scene, people are actually running things. And he's just an instrument. He doesn't even know it.
Like Biden. There's somebody behind Biden.
Yeah, oh yeah. And Biden's wicked. He just wants money.
He just wants
money, but he'll do whatever it takes to get money. Let me see. 18:39-40. We got that. 9:1-2. Got that. And now we're going to go to 20, verse 1 through 3. Assyria's coming in. Assyria's a bad country. And 20 verse 1, now Ben-Hadad, and that is son of Hadad. Ben means son, is Hebrew's son. But Hadad, king of Syria, had gathered together all of his forces, and 32 kings were with him, and horses and chariots. Then came he up and lay siege to Samaria and made war against it. Well, Yahweh is going to send a prophet to help this wicked of all people. You know, we get the introduction. He sinned like nobody else had sinned before him by bringing in Baal. That's the introduction of Yahweh. Not only did he do this, but look what's going to happen. Yahweh is going to send a prophet. In 13, verse 13, And lo, a certain prophet drew near unto Achab, king of Israel, and said, Thus saith Yahweh, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold me, delivered into thy hand. Wow, look at this. Yahweh's helping a really wicked guy. Today, so shall I know that I am Yahweh. And Achab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith Yahweh, by the young men of the prince of the province. Then said he, Who shall begin the war? And he said, No. He's obeying Yahweh.
Immediately submits.
Yeah, he's not killing the prophet. So Yahweh's delivering him from the king of Assyria. 21 and 22. And the king of Assyria went forth and took the horses and the chariots, and he went on to smite the Assyrians with a great smiting. Then drew near the prophet, here's another prophet, unto the king of Israel, and said to him, Go strengthen thyself, and mark and see what thou wilt do. For at the return of the year is the king of Assyria coming up against thee. So he warns him, he won the first battle. There's going to be another battle at the beginning of the year. The prophet sees her. There's another warning. At verse 28, then approached the man of Elohim, which is the prophet, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith Yahweh, because the Assyrians have said, A God of the mountains is Yahweh, but not a God of the vales is he. Therefore I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, so shall I know that I am Yahweh. Okay, so you just encounter after encounter after encounter, and we've got a problem, because in 2033, He wipes all the Syrians out, and he saves Ben-Hadad, the king. Instead of killing him, he says, You're my brother. Big mistake. Because this guy will come back at Samaria. But in chapter 20, verse 35, and that was a mistake, and a certain man of the sons of the prophet, there's another prophet, it could be the same one, and said unto his neighbor, that's where it says, strike me, smite me, hit him. And the guy didn't hit him, and the guy hit him. And then you go down to 42. And the prophet said unto Achab, Thus saith Yahweh, because thou hast let go the man whom I have devoted out of thy hand, therefore shall thy life be instead of his life, and thy people instead of his people. And the king of Israel killed the prophet that said such a thing. No. Departed unto his house sunken and disturbed in his Samaria. Wow. So he listened to the prophet again, and he said, and thought about it. I really blew it. And now we know about chapter 21, which is Naboth.
So King Saul would have killed Samuel.
Yeah.
At one point.
Well, yeah, that's right. And 21:4. Remember, here is Achab. You get another picture. He wants Naboth's vineyard because it's his garden. He likes to be outdoors and garden. And Naboth won't get it. And goes, instead of killing Naboth, I'm the king. I'm taking this. He doesn't. And 4, so Achab came into his house, sullen and disturbed because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him, that he should not have said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. So he lay down upon his bed and turned away his face and did eat no food. And this is Achab.
Depressed.
And his wife says, Darling, what's so, you said he won't give me his land, I really want it. And so women can say, I know some men like that. what does Jezebel does? I have
she
no problem. I'm
going to
kill this guy. I'm not going to kill him. I'm going to let somebody else kill him for me according to the Hebrew law, where two witnesses said, You blaspheme Yahweh, and you have two witnesses. I'm going to stone him. And also, by the way, I got to kill a son also, because he would be the heir. So I got to kill both of them. And so the son's not going to be mentioned here, but later on he's mentioned. Because otherwise, if I kill him, his son's going to be the inheritor. And so they set up Naboth, like, we're going to celebrate your great individual. And when they get there, they were going to say he blasphemed Yahweh. Just the height of wickedness and the height of what is done today with the Democrat Party, the same situation. It is to set somebody up and then just crucify him with the public. And she got him the vineyard. Right? 21:16. And it came to pass when Achab heard that Nabal was dead, no suspicion there. What are the coincidences? That Achab arose to go down onto the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelites, to take possession thereof. Surprise! Then came the word of Yahweh unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Achab, king of Israel, who is in... Now remember, Achab had workings with Elijah, other prophets, and Elisha. So we're talking about 22 years of listening to the prophets and not killing them. Arise, go down to meet Achab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Lo, he is in the vineyard of Naboth. God, he's already in there. Whither he hath gone down to take possession thereof. Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, hast thou committed murder and also taken possession? Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, in the place where the dogs have lapped up the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lap up thy blood, even thine. Then said Achab unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? This is very important. If you close off somebody who's going to give you correction according to the scripture, you are doing exactly what Achab is doing. I don't want light. I don't want to be reproved. I don't want correction. And if you correct me, you're my enemy. So I shut out the people who don't agree with me. I shut out, and that's what we were talking about the other day, is about I selectively want to be in the dark. So it's like you say, majority of Christians do not want truth. What they want is confirmation that what they believe is truth. So if you say there is no Trinity, heretic, heretic, heretic. You know, where is God the Son? There is no God the Son. There is no God the Father. I mean, God the Holy Spirit. There is no God the Holy Spirit. And on and on and on. You know, just the heresies that's going on. Just another example of the dead go to heaven. Well, isn't that interesting? Because Cain put Abel into heaven. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that nice? Because Cain probably lived to be 900 years old while Abel was in heaven right off. Wasn't that nice? Why would Yahweh be mad at Cain putting Abel into heaven with Jesus? Because Jesus already existed. So Jesus already existed. The Holy Spirit already existed. Yahweh existed. So they're all in heaven. And so now Cain just put Abel in heaven with him. We should applaud him. But that is Christianity as orthodoxy. And forget 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter, because it contradicts what people want to believe. All right? But, back to 20. Has thou found me, O my enemy? And he said, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to do the thing that is wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. Behold me, bringing in upon thee calamity, and I will consume after thee, and cut off Achab, even the meanest, whether shut up or left at large in Israel, and will deliver up thy house, that means your family, all your family members, like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked and caused Israel to sin. Moreover also, concerning Jezebel, has Yahweh spoken, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel in the town land of Jezreel, which we saw that. Him that died of Achab in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dies in the field shall the birds of the heaven eat. But indeed there was none like Achab, who sold himself to do the thing, watch this, that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. He hasn't accomplished. He has a demon, whom Jezebel, his wife, goaded on. So who was the instrument with Achab? Jezebel. Is he guilty? Yeah, he's guilty. But who is, the guilty? Yes, Jezebel. And she's getting paid, but she'll be resurrected. So guess what? All the prophets that she killed, remember, I think it's Obadiah, he saved 100 prophets that Jezebel went after. So she went after speaking the truth. Yahweh's prophets speak the truth, but all prophets speak what she wants to hear. So on your church, are you going there to get the truth, or are you going to a confirmation of what you want to hear the pastor say? Mm-hmm. All right. And it's very popular, because what people want is very popular to give them what they want. Giving them truth is not really popular. And so a lot of times the churches are very small because people don't want the truth. So, 26, so that he did very abominably is going after the manufacture of God, according to all which Amorites had done, whom Yahweh depossessed from before the sons of Israel. And now watch this. This is huge. And it came to pass, I'm going to kill Elijah. No. When Achab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly. Wow. You didn't see that coming.
No.
That's never going to happen with Jezebel.
No.
Then came the word of Yahweh unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, hast thou seen that Achab had humbled himself before me? So we got to remember, God, you know, some really wicked people can turn. And so Yahweh can let us know they turned. You can say, I'm never, you know, why would I witness to Achab? Yeah, over and over and over they were. And he ended up turning for a period of time and then didn't. Humbled himself before me, because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring in the calamity in his days. Isn't that great? He's not going to see all his sons murdered, his wife dead. In the days of his son will I bring in the calamity upon his house. So now we go to 22:1. And there continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And you have to read the whole chapter. We don't have time. But 22:12. Let's go here. They're saying, should we go up? And all the false prophets say, yes. And they're called prophets of Yahweh. Go up, you will fight, you will beat these guys, you will beat them. Jehoshaphat's there with him. And he says, isn't there somebody else who's not going to kiss your butt? So, I mean, these are called butt kissers. You know, saying exactly what you want to hear. And if you don't have anybody that's not a butt kisser, that will confront you, you got a problem. Because you have blocked Yahweh. So if I have nobody who's going to tell me the truth, all right, because I have blocked them, because you're no longer my friend. If you tell me the truth, you're no longer my friend. You're not coming to parties. You're not coming to anything else because you don't tell me what I want to hear. The only people who come to my parties are those people who tell me what I want to hear. And they'll tell me how good I am. That will kill you. And as we're going to see here, it's going to kill Achab. Because all these prophets said, you're going to win. And there's a guy named a prophet Micaiah. And he says, and let's show you about Micaiah if you don't know. 22 verse 13. And Joseph says, isn't there any other prophets for Yahweh that doesn't kiss your butt? Well, there's one guy. I hate him.
Never tell him.
Do you have a person like that? Do you have somebody in your life who speaks truth to you and you hate him? And so when Yahweh is going to tell you to save your life, you're not going to listen to him because he's been blocked. He's been canceled. And you're going to die. Oh, that really showed everybody. Now when the messengers who went in to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, I pray thee, the words of the prophets with one mouth are good. As touching the king, let thy word, I pray thee, be as the word of one of them. You know, just give them what they want to hear. All right, so wilt thou speak that which is good. And this guy might be trying to help Micaiah. Regardless of what you say, they're not going to listen to you. You might as well just tell them what they want to hear, and you can go back home. So it could have been because they're not going to listen to you. And Micaiah said, by the life of Yahweh, what Yahweh said unto me, that will I speak. Is he a popular guy?
No.
No. You're going to find out most of the popular people, prophets, people did not want to be around him. Most people say, I want to be around the prophet. No, you don't. All right. So he came unto the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall that we forbear? And he said unto him, go you up and prosper. Yahweh will deliver thee in the hands of thy king. La, 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 la. And the king said unto him, how many times must I adjure thee that thou shalt speak unto me nothing but truth in the name of Yahweh? Okay, you want truth? With all of us, you have to tell all your friends, I want you to speak truth to me. Regardless, I'm not going to like it. Tell me ahead of time that it's something I'm not going to like, so I can tell you when to do it. But I want you to speak. If you see something I'm doing that's contrary to the word, I want to know about it. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, then you might be the problem, like Oxhob. I'm only going to be surrounded by people who love me. I'm not going to speak truth to me. And so make yourself vulnerable to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your friends. Make yourself vulnerable. Give it to me. And if you can prove it out of the Word, all right, that's what I want. And that's what we're commanded to do, actually. It talks about, you know, in Galatians 6, if a person is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest it also be tempted. So we are there to interject and say, man, you can't do what you're doing. And so we've had people who, you know, was in the Word, and all of a sudden their wife died, and all of a sudden they go and they start, looking for companionships online, you know, dating services, and then find somebody and they date, and all of a sudden they start fornicating. Christians. Is anybody going to speak truth to them and say, you can't do that? And so we've done that. And so, no, you can't do that. And if you continue to do that, we can't have anything to do with you, because that's 1 Corinthians 5. If a brother's a fornicator, not even to eat with them. Well, is that church? Well, no, God's love is unconditional. Unconditional love. No, all sins are forgiven. No, 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 no. 1 Corinthians 5 says, if a brother's a drunkard or a fornicator, etc., not even to eat with such a person. Remove that wicked man from among you. Who are you to call somebody wicked? Yeah, they're wicked. If you're a fornicator or a drunkard, extortioner, you know, sodomites, they're wicked. Now get off.
Mm-hmm.
In 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered among the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. So Yahweh said, these have no master. Let them return every man into his own house in peace. Then said the king of Israel unto Jehoshaphat, did I not say you, he will not be moved to prophesy concerning me anything good, only calamity? And he said, therefore hear thou the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of the heavens standing by him on the right hand and on the left. Uh-oh. I'm going to get a lot of trouble saying these words. So does Yahweh give you words that you're not going to repeat? You're not going to give the message? Because this message is going to get you in bad trouble. But Micaiah is going to do it because he loves Yahweh. And Yahweh said, Who will persuade Oxhob that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said in his manner, and another in that manner. Then came forth a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. So that's what he's telling all the false prophets. These are the false prophets. Spirits going into them. And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and become a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets. So he said, thou mayest persuade, yea, and prevail, go forth and do so. Now, are the prophets mad now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's just one man. Now therefore, lo, Yahweh has suffered the spirit of falsehood to be put into the mouths of all these thy prophets. But Yahweh himself has spoken concerning the calamity. And read the rest of it. And he sends him off to jail. So Micaiah speaks the truth. And I didn't get a bonus. I didn't get a Mercedes. I didn't get a Rolex watch like all the pastors have. No, I got put in jail. What's up with that? If you tell people what they want, many times you might get a Rolex watch. You know, or you might have Mercedes Benz. You know, and these are the wealthy, wealthy pastors that supposedly, you know, are doing the word of Yahweh. Now we go to 22:34. And so it says you're going to die. So the story, you got to read this, but the story says, Oxhob, you're going to die. And Oxhob says, I'm going to outfox you, because I'm going to take off my king stuff and put on regular army, and I'm going to let Jehoshaphat wear his king stuff, and they'll go after him instead of me. And that's what happens. All of a sudden, the Syrians go after Jehoshaphat because they think he's the king. And Oxhob is over there. And then what it says here in 34, and so I'm safe because I've outsmarted Yahweh. Now watch what this arrow does. Somebody shoots an arrow. And a certain man drawing bow into his innocence, and here's a hawk going by. I think I could hit that hawk. And he shoots a bow up. Now think of this. In his innocence, smote the king of Israel. He's got armor on, so it would hit the metal. No, he's got a gap right here for the shoulders. And guess where the blade's coming in? Right there. Right, probably hit him right in the heart. Smote the king of Israel between the shoulder joints and the coat of Maul. Wherefore he said unto his carrier, turn thy hand and convey me out of the host, for I am sore wounded. That is the end of Oxhob. 37. So the king died and was brought into Samaria, and they buried him in the king of Samaria. So 22 years. Here's the mixed story on people that we can communicate into our politicians many times. You know, we've got it. You know, Trump has put one homosexual into office, Bissing. And so you're like, you know, he's got a husband. The guy has a husband and two children. And you're like, well, maybe, you know, I was completely against it, but maybe he's the person who can really do something and maybe even be converted and get delivered from his sodomy at the same time. You know, so, but the rest of all this cabinet are Christians. And even with Elon Musk, you know, he's not a Christian that I know of, but everybody else in the cabinet are Christians except for those two. And maybe they are going to transform Elon Musk because he's going to see what Christians really are compared to the Democrats. And also, maybe this guy will break away and be delivered.
I think he's seeing what the Democrats are right now.
Yeah, but that's it. So we'll stop there. And we'll hear from our Heavenly Father and a word of prophecy. So, Father, thank you for these words here. Mashiach Yahushua, thank you, Christ, for without your Passover's coming up on April 12th. Not according to the church, it's going to be like April 16th. It's April 12th because there has to be a new moon. It'd be the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But he ended up being beaten for us, and there's a picture of him being so mutilated by a whip, and it hit me. What, you know, my sins aren't that bad. You know, I've never murdered anybody or anything like that. So what's up with this horrendous torture? And I think there's a man out there who deserves exactly that torture that he took. And Christ took all this torture because he deserved it to save that man. Wow. You know, that is love.
That's something, yeah.
You know, that is love. That, I mean, that is something I can't even explain. But there's our Savior. That does that for both of us and gave us Ruach HaKodesh. So we're going to hear a prophecy through, you know, and because of Christ.
Wait till Aaron comes back.
That's all right.
No, wait a minute.
No. Well, Father, we thank you for these words in the name of Mashiach Yahushua. Behold me and my son that we live in glory. We are in front of you, behind you, around you, surrounding you. At all times be confronted with my words of life that I put inside your mouth and in your heart in order to bring deliverance to you and to your family members and to your friends. Speak those words regardless of how they're received, and you will be rewarded. Amen.